In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our sermon texts are from Zechariah chapter 9 and from Mark chapter 15. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we have come to Jerusalem with rejoicing. We have carried our palms with joy, welcoming our Lord as he comes to us again today, not on a donkey, but humble nonetheless. There is uncertainty, though, in this day. There is ambiguity in our celebration. If we follow the direction of the liturgy, we will go out with sorrow, because we go out of David's city toward Golgotha and the cross. You notice that the pyramids on our altar today are scarlet red for Christ's passion. You notice that there is a sharp, distinctive turn in the service from all glory, laud, and honor to the Lamb. And, O dearest Jesus, what law hast thou broken? How did we get from rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion, and Hosanna, to crucify him? And God abandoned by God. Some would like to keep the more solemn Sunday of the Passion separate from the more joyous Palm Sunday. There are good reasons for keeping them separate, but combining them may cause us to think more deeply about Jesus' entrance into Jerusalem, about Jesus, our King. We like to draw straight, clean lines between our happiness and our sadness. We don't want the Passion interfering with the palms. We don't want all the talk of betrayal and beatings and Barabbas and cursings of crowds and crucifixion and the corpse being brought down. Well, we're trying to enjoy the entry into Jerusalem. But why should it be that way in the church if it is not that way in our lives? Or more correctly, why should it be that way in our lives if it is not that way in the church? Think of the most joyous occasions of your life. We, like fools, think that somehow we can keep our happiness and our sadness separate, our joy and our sorrow apart and in their proper places. But we can't. It is impossible to keep the joy of a wedding apart from the pain caused by two sinners living together in the same house. It is impossible to keep the joy of the birth apart from the pain of labor, or the pain of parenting sinful children that you've given birth to, for that matter. It is impossible to keep bliss, the bliss of a family reunion, apart from the division, hatred, isolation, and cold shoulders given in those same families' get-togethers. It is impossible to keep the joy of life apart from the sorrow and pain of death. Sin runs too deeply into your heart and mind, and in this world, for such things to be possible. And it is no different in the church, as the calendar of the church keeps reminding us. Yes, there is rejoicing today. Yes, there is the one triumphant today. Yes, we welcome our King. But the rejoicing is at the coming one who comes to die. The triumphal entry is the entry of the one who conquers his enemies by submitting to them. The King is welcomed as a servant who is crucified. They cannot be separated. The one from the donkey, the one from the cross, the triumphant one from the dying one, the King from the servant, the rejoicing from the suffering. They cannot be separated in Jesus because they cannot be separated in us. Not without both of us dying. And the dying for you and me goes like this. Repent, you who would have your joy without sorrow. Repent, you who would celebrate Easter as if it could be separated from Good Friday. Repent, you who had come into the house of the Lord looking for the sweetness and light of Jesus, without first recognizing the bitterness and darkness of your sin, the greed, the gossip, the sexual immorality, slander, murder, covetousness, deceit, injustice, hatred, malice, envy, pride, adultery, theft, murder, laziness, drunkenness, idolatry, divorce, and corruption. The rising goes like this. You are forgiven. Because Jesus, your King, went through the sorrow for the sake of your joy. He was despised and rejected by men. He was stricken, smitten, and afflicted by God. He was pierced with nails for your transgressions, and by his wounds, by the shedding of his holy precious blood for you upon the cross, you are healed. You are forgiven. Because Jesus took the cross for the sake of the resurrection. You are forgiven all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Jesus has taken away your bitterness. He has taken away your darkness. And he has given you the sweetness of his gospel, the sweetness of forgiveness and life eternal. See, we live between two worlds. We are caught between happiness and sadness, joy and pain, life and death. Our Old Testament reading, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion, shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem, see your King coming to you." And our Gospel reading, "Crucify him." Those outside the church go on in their delusion that life can be separated into neat little boxes. This one with pink ribbons and rabbits and eggs out in the open, and that black one with weeping and pain hidden under the rug or on a basement shelf. But the Christian's life remains in this world a life of Christ, which the life of the church lives. We cannot celebrate the birth of Christ without looking forward to his passion. We cannot celebrate his passion without looking forward to his resurrection. We cannot observe the long season of Pentecost without the church's constant cry, "Come, Lord Jesus, come quickly." We cannot baptize without realizing that we have given the baptized a lifelong enemy in Satan. We cannot hear the vows of the confirmants without the question, "Do you intend to continue steadfast in this confession and church and to suffer all else, even death, rather than fall away from it?" We cannot eat the Holy Supper of the resurrected Lord without knowing that we receive his broken body and blood shed for us upon the cross. We cannot live in forgiveness unless we first die in sorrow over our sin, in repentance and faith. How easy it is to forget these things. How easy it is to rush through Holy Week to our fancy Easter with plastic grass and fake rabbits, especially when the ground lies so cold and dormant with very little green and no buds. How easy to choose Christ when it is convenient and when it fits into your schedule and doesn't interfere with your plans and you're not too tired. Or, well, maybe next week. Which is to say, if it were up to us, you would never choose Christ. Thanks be to God that though you cannot choose Jesus, still he has chosen you from before the foundations of the world. Do not be deceived into thinking that the happiness can be separated from sadness, joy from pain. No, they are in this life bound together and inseparable. So brothers and sisters, travel toward the resurrection with the church. Watch your King who comes righteous and having salvation ride on into Jerusalem in lowly pomp to die. Gather with the pilgrims, especially this Holy Week, with those for whom Christ has died and was raised, for whom he suffered and over whom he rejoices, for whom is the cross and the empty tomb. Stay and watch and pray this week as the church keeps vigil for our Lord's resurrection, his bodily resurrection, and his life in the world to come. Come eat and drink. Be strengthened with the life of Christ for the living of your own life, filled as it is with both happiness and sadness, both joy and sorrow, both life and death. Return again and again in repentance and faith until the day of resurrection, when there is only happiness, only joy, only life in our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.